Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And today we have with us three women who are going to review the book, Three Women.
We have Irvine, Jamie, and Chasley.
Hello.
And each one of them has read the book and has feelings about it.
All the feels. Yeah.
Feeling the feels, thinking the thoughts.
Yeah.
So how about you start by telling us what the overall concept of the book was?
So I'll back up even like a tiny bit. I found this book, or I found out about this book because Elizabeth Gilbert from Eat, Pray, Love. Did I get those in the right order?
Mm-hmm.
Fame, and more recently City of Girls. You're welcome, Elizabeth. She was recommending it all over Instagram and Facebook, and when I read the descriptor that she was putting out, I was like, oh. Like, normally I would read anything she told me to, but it was like, this is about the sexual lives of three women, and it sounded super dry and very, very clinical. So I was like, I'm not reading that. And then, strangely, I also looked at the cover, and
which
was like,
very bland.
Very yes. bland. So I thought, this is a boring clinical sex book. And then it kept popping up in places like, you know, pay attention to this book. So I bought it, and it was not at all what I expected.
How did the other two of you come into contact with the book?
Well, Jamie recommended it to me.
Okay.
She made me read it, Jamie.
Okay.
I was forced.
I'm an influencer. And yeah.
Do you hear that, publishing companies?
She walked in, look at me, you should read this book. Yes, ma'am, no problem, I'll read it.
Well, does anyone else have anything to add about when they first read about the book, what they thought it was about? Did you have a kind of same misconception, or did you just trust Jamie blindly?
I trusted Jamie blindly.
Yes.
Also, I don't like to read blurbs of books. Like, I feel like they're hugely misleading. So I'm way more likely to, like, choose a book by its cover and then to actually read anything about it. Or if somebody tells me to read it, I'm like, oh, I'll just read that. Though the history of the book is really interesting. Like, she spent, like, 5 years, like, traveling throughout the country interviewing people for it.
I read it because Jamie recommended it, and it's about sex and women. It's always interesting to see what a woman will say about that. A lot of men try to write about us and sex, and I want to see her point of view. And also, like Cassie was saying, she went broke. Like, she got a really good stipend, but after year five, she's run out of money. So she put a lot of her own into this.
Yeah.
And she was talking about in an interview how uncomfortable it was walking up to people to say, hey, I write a book about sex. You want to talk about sex? That type of thing.
George Michael's talking.
Yeah, let's talk about sex.
Like, what are you?
Right.
Like, maybe start by introducing yourself.
Yeah. Before you just talk about my life. Yeah. So.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I would like to know who you're sleeping with.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So can you guys tell us a little bit about the three women who are really examined in this book?
Oh, let's each take one.
Okay. Yes. I'll take Sloane.
Okay, go for
it. You go for it.
Okay, well, Sloane is a very well-to-do woman, Upper East Side of wherever she's from, comes from money, and she's into more experimental sex, threesomes, poly. She's open to anything. She's married, and her husband enjoys watching her have sex or knowing she's with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually share couples, but more so he likes to know she's with other people. That really gets him going.
Mm-hmm. Is she happy with this arrangement? Was that her preferred?
This is the thing with Sloane. At the beginning, when I read it, I took it as if she brought him into the lifestyle. She was already living that lifestyle. I had a girlfriend at one point in time, I think, in college. So she's already was living that type of open, free lifestyle. Married her husband, brought him into it, and then he really enjoyed it, but not more so of him being with other people, but knowing she's with other people.
Okay.
So it turned into no longer, I'm doing this because I enjoy it. Let me call him on the phone. Hey, I'm with BoJack. Okay. Let me know how it goes.
BoJack Horseman.
Yeah. You clearly know what I watch when I'm watching. Yeah. It's a whole other podcast. BoJack, and I'm with these people. So he doesn't call him, though. Mm-hmm. He gets upset. Like, I need to know you're there. I think he imagines the whole situation happening.
Interesting. So she was already polyamorous.
Already was, but I think towards within the marriage it became more so no longer.
She turned her hobby into her profession, which is always bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except if you read for a living.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and Sloane, I'll take the next one, but for Sloane, you know, you ask if she was happy, and that's the perfect book club question, and it reminded me of something my mother used to say all the time, which is, be careful what you wish for. I don't know if she was happy. I don't know. It got complicated.
Yeah.
Chesley, which one do you want? There's two left.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I'll let you choose.
All right, I think I'm gonna take Lena, who, when it starts, she's a teenager, and she is sexually assaulted as a teenager, and then she, you know, goes on, gets married. But she has this obsession slash crush with this boy she knew in high school, who, when she finds him again, he's also married. And then they start a relationship. And it is, to me, it was the saddest story in the book. She would meet him, like, in a car on the edge of the woods, and that was
no together. Yeah, literally.
Or,
yeah.
Like, they would get really cheap hotel rooms. And she had two kids, and This is terrible on me, but I was like, where are your children right now? Like, yeah. Who is watching your children? And she really had the idea that she was in love with him and that he loved her. But it was so clear to a reader that he was very much using her.
And yeah.
It really was sad. So
didn't she end up leaving her husband?
She did get a divorce, but just this, she was very, very needy. She really scheduled her thoughts and her activities around the idea of being with him, even if it was in the backseat of a car. They're adults. They're not teenagers.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it just was sad that her self-esteem was so damaged. And it reminded me, in college, we had a running joke, like hooking up with someone, if we would say to each other, how's your self-esteem? And that was code for, did you hook up? Like,
it's interesting.
Yeah, no, and that's, to me, that would hit on this major theme that women have, where they equate being desirable to a man sexually, and that defines them. And that was very much the case for her, and it just was hard. That was hard for me to read.
Let me add, though.
Yes.
She had issues, to me, with Lena. That insecurity was already there before she even was assaulted. If you remember in the book, she was running behind him before. They weren't even dating. She just liked him. So she had issues before everything happened to her. Mm-hmm. And I think she just needed attention. And she sought it out in any way possible. Because even in high school, with her and him, they just dated. And she wanted his attention. So she would do things to get his attention. Mm-hmm. So even before the marriage and the assault, she already had some type of underlying issues, I feel.
Well, and from the synopsis that I read, or the reviewers that I read, they made it sound like her marriage was sexless.
That's what she said. He wouldn't kiss her.
They had two kids.
Yeah. But
I have real issue with Lena, but we'll talk about that.
And it just, again, it hits on that theme, like, you know, girls will do anything, even from a young age, to get that attention, because that's how they assign value to themselves. And she was just, like Arlene said, she wanted attention, and she was going to get it through sex, and that it was hard.
Her husband wouldn't even kiss her on the mouth. Said that sensation offended him.
Ooh.
Why did she marry someone
exactly,
like, hates kisses?
Yeah,
that feels like a bad sign for the future.
Red flag.
Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't go too much into their marriage.
Yeah,
like, that's just kind of the friendship.
And I wish it did. I wish we had heard an interview from him or something. You know how there's always another side. I'm not saying that she's lying. I just wonder, with her sensationalism in her mind of needing attention, what was not enough for her? You know what I mean? So I don't know.
What about our last lady? Our last woman.
Maggie is 17. She falls in love with her handsome married English teacher, who decides it's a great idea to have a relationship with his 17-year-old student.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a relationship that lasts a while. It is physical, and then when he breaks up with her, she has kind of a meltdown. Years later, she still has no degree, no career, no dreams, and then he is named North Dakota's Teacher of the Year, and she finally steps forward with her story. What was really interesting, I thought, was the reviewers were like, you know, in the Me Too era, it's amazing to believe, but nobody believed her. And we're like, of course nobody believed her.
Right.
Like, it was years later. And also, that's, I mean, even in the Me Too era, that's what happens more often than not. But they're in a rural area, and it's told from her perspective entirely. So she still kind of has feelings for him and is kind of romanticizes the whole thing. And so from like an outside reader, you're like, oh God, what are you doing? Please stop.
I felt sorry for her out of everyone.
Yeah. I had more empathy for her.
I truly, truly did.
Lena, but because there was a trial, right, Chesley?
It's a true story.
Yes, there was a trial. But yeah, she was groomed, and it's like from a groomed person's perspective, and you want so much for her to be able to see, no, like,
it wasn't great.
No, this wasn't a consensual thing. You were a child.
Right.
And even as an adult, because now he's actually, it's an actual It really is a true like story. You can read the article on it. He's in jail now, I think, and lost everything. And they found out he was doing this other, I think, other women, other young girls as well.
That's not surprising. Yeah.
And she never matured past 17. When you read and listen to her, and I think she's working in a diner, and people still give her like a scarlet letter of it was all your fault. She cannot live life past that situation at all, because people don't understand. What do you mean? If you never lived, if it's not your experience, some people just don't understand. What do you mean you didn't know? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Then his wife didn't believe her. It was a lot. The whole town, how dare you say this about this lovely man? It's like, maybe.
Especially because even if they do believe her, they're like, well, you're 17. You're basically an adult. So, mm-hmm. like, the power dynamics just don't come into play for people.
No, they do not.
And it goes back to that same idea of young women needing attention, you know, mm-hmm. and she, unfortunately, where she was getting it was from her English teacher, which is super inappropriate.
Yeah.
Listeners, super inappropriate. But she doesn't feel that because she feels special. Mm-hmm. And to feel that feeling of special, you know, takes you down some bad paths.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Why do you think the author chose these three women, like, in their stories to...
That actually came out in an interview. They were the ones who were willing to talk to her the most.
She interviewed, like, 25 women, hundreds of people, then 25 really spoke to her, but these three really gave her more information that she needed.
And that's where I'll go back to. The style of this book is narrative nonfiction, right? And it's almost like the author was an embedded journalist, like, mm-hmm. really spent all the time and the years. And the stories are very honest and pretty detailed, so it reads like a story that is true.
Do you think there were some perspectives that were missing?
I really wish, even though it's about three women, I would have loved to interview Sloane's husband and his mindset, and also Lena's husband, just to see what are you thinking? You know, I know there's an interview where almost like you're blaming men for your own sexuality and your own suppression, but in a way it's like for Sloane, you need to own that you brought him into this lifestyle.
Right.
You, like you said, be careful what you ask for. You brought him into this. He enjoyed it. Now you're stuck. She was a control freak in a way. I think everything she had before, she controlled it. She ran it.
Oh, okay.
And now it's almost like I have to call him. There was one part in the book where she was with a couple in a hotel. Her phone went dead. She couldn't call him. So she didn't enjoy herself because she's worried about him. Knowing she's out but having called to check in, it became a job. Be careful what you ask for. And at one point, she had a memory of maybe her brother tried to assault her when she was younger. I'm not sure, I hate to say, how much of that I believe, because it never happened again. You know what I mean? He approached her, but it never happened again. So that was the thing that brought you down this entire road. It was just really hard for me to connect with it. And also, I think with Sloane, these women are all white. Sloane has money. Very few people, I don't care what color, are going to connect with her. Oh, you have money. You have privilege.
Right.
You do what you want to do anyway. So that's the whole disconnect, I think, with her for some people on that level. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
I think it was definitely mistitled. Yeah, it definitely should have been like three middle-class white women.
That's a lot. That could be the subtitle.
Right.
Yeah. I even read one interview where the author said that at first she wanted to set out and get men's perspectives, but she was very dismissive of like their experience of stories like these.
But they have their own experiences. Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to see what he thought, or what Lena's husband thought.
Something to the effect of their story climaxed after their climax.
Wow.
And that there's, I guess, not much after that.
Wow.
But also, she's a middle-class white woman. Like, she's probably not going to be the one they're going to open up to.
Yeah. Right. You're not going to sit down with a strange woman and be like, let me tell you about how my wife emotionally wrecked me and how I will never be the same.
Right.
Was she setting out to explore women who were mistreated by men?
That's a good question. I think so.
Is she here? Should we phone her?
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, I think these are just the stories. I think these stories are out there everywhere. Maggie's, Lena's. I'm not sure about Sloane's. I mean, I think it's probably more common than I think.
It's very common.
Yeah.
It's very, very common.
Mm-hmm. I do not run in those circles.
I don't run in them, but I know some people. So.
Yeah.
But Lena, to me, was like, that's every woman, right? She just got stuck in that pattern. And Maggie, even if it's not your high school English teacher, it's for women who get involved, or for girls, right, when you're 17, when you're involved in that way with a really unbalanced relationship, I think that's super common, whether it's your English teacher or an older boy or just anyone. I mean, it's just so common.
The sad part for me when it comes to Maggie, and the only glimmer of sadness for a man, was her dad took it on. I think he killed himself. Because, you know, you can't protect your daughter. What did you miss? What did you see? And that hurt me, because you can tell, as the parents in the book, they're like, how did I not see? What did I not give my daughter to realize she's reaching out? Because in the book, I don't think, he may have been preying on her initially, but it was almost, you're at that age of you're discovering who you are, you're cute, you're attractive, you think he's attractive, and you're probably crossing a few lines as a teen, right? I'm not taking away what he did. He should have stopped himself as an educator. But then you wonder, as a parent, what did I not give her in self-esteem-wise to think she had to go out somewhere else and seek from this older person this validation? And he took it on hard. I mean, he killed himself, I think, 5 years afterwards or something.
And I think her parents were alcoholics, too, if I remember.
Yes. The mom was an alcoholic, I think, and the dad. So it was, her story to me was the saddest one. The whole dynamic of that was really hard.
Did you get kind of the idea, other than Maggie is the young one you were just talking about.
Yes.
Did you get the idea, other than Maggie, what these women were, like, searching for in their relationships, what they were looking for that they felt they were missing in their relationship with desire, their own desire?
I think Maggie didn't even have any after that. She was truly stuck.
Oh, really?
I think Maggie was truly scarlet letter stuck, blamed for his demise, how dare you type of thing. Lena, to me, is the only one really searching for anything.
Yeah, Lena for sure wanted validation. She wanted self-esteem. She wanted to believe that someone loved her, that she was worthy of love. And she mistook sex in the backseat of a car for love.
Okay, the whole book makes me angry.
Yes! Okay. The breaking point.
The thing is I think it could have been okay, but it was so mismarketed. This is not a story about women's desire, because desire, like, intimates that you have, like, some sort of agency in your own life. And these women don't, either because of a mental illness or because of abuse. This isn't about desire. It is about trauma. And it is depressing. Like, it's marketed as, like, this really, like, exciting, like, glimpse into these women's lives. And it's not. It is horrifying. You read the whole thing and all you can think is, oh, my God, thank goodness that, like, my life isn't like this. That, like, I have been healthy and have not been through these horrible things, and I'm still able to, like, take possession of my life and make decisions. And I think part of the thing is, like, this, like, small town for some of them. Like, Maggie's trapped in this thing, but, like, she's not trapped. You know what Maggie could do? She could up and move. Like, her entire life would be different if she just lived somewhere else. Probably somewhere bigger. That would really help. Honestly, the same thing for Lena. Like, she's like, oh, this one man, go into a city. Go do some online dating. That would really help you out.
It was a hard, like I told Jamie, I said, I had issue with every one of these women. Maggie, to me, was the hardest, because she's still very 17 in her thinking. Lena is very, I think she's like 15 when that happened to her, in her thinking. But to me, Sloane needs to own her stuff on that one. And like you said, it's all about trauma. But at some point in time, you have to do the work to get out of it and move on from it. And like with Sloane, you need to own your situation. She had a whole affair with one of her coworkers. He had a wife, a girlfriend, and you're sleeping with him, and your husband knows. And you didn't tell her. Of course he didn't tell his girlfriend he's sleeping with you. So you're now infecting everyone with your own desires or whatever it is. You need to own your stuff. And to me, when she started blaming, maybe my brother did something to me, it's like, stop placing blame.
Yeah.
You lived a life. You were free. You thought you had control. Now you no longer have control. That's not everyone's story. But I do think everyone can be this person at some point in time, no matter where you are economically or class. You can be a Maggie, a Sloane, a Lena. It's just understanding you're not that far removed from it. Yeah. And it's easy to say up and move, but I think for Maggie, that was really hard. It was crippling. Her mom wasn't really that well. Her dad had killed himself, so now she's blaming herself for so many things. Wherever she goes, she gets made fun of, get called names. Even in her 20s, oh, you're Maggie. It's like, stop it, because you're going against someone who everyone loves. That's a hard thing to, I'm telling you, he assaulted me. Are you sure? Now you're doubting yourself. So how do you move on through life when no one supports you in your own town?
Yeah.
And your dad dad feels
it. Yeah. Emotionally, like, stunted.
Oh, she was emotionally stunted.
I can imagine she probably doesn't feel like she actually has agency to move.
Absolutely.
Just like a 17-year-old doesn't feel like they have agency, like, to get
I think she feels she deserves to be where she is because maybe I did cause this to happen to my life.
That's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, like, that isolation, like, none of them have a decent support system. Like,
yeah.
Where are your friends? Like, you, that's what they need more than any of these.
Well, Maggie's friends are the ones who told her, you do know you were assaulted. Like, when she was telling people her story, like, Maggie, you do know you were assaulted. You do realize her friends are the ones who let her know, basically,
hey, that's not
that wasn't normal. Right.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
And Chazley's 100% right. This is not about desire at all. It's really not even about having sexual power or, like, owning your sexual identity. It's not. It is about trauma and just the way that women act out the places, the holes in their life, like how they try to fill that emotional hole. It is, though, and I don't want Chazley to turn you off. I still recommend this book. It is so well done. It's a really good read. It's a really good piece of work that the author did. But yes, it should tick you off royally. Like, it should make you feel icky.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everyone. I was like, here, read this.
Yeah.
Be mad with me.
You know, let's talk about situations that happen. Yes.
But what I will say, what it made me do is check myself and how I react to other people's situation. Because it may have not been mine or how I may have reacted, you never know until you're in that situation. At what point in your life did you have that breakthrough? And I had to realize that everyone didn't have the support or the background or the strength that I may have and how they handle it. And then I'm like, you know, but I will say, though, the turn off for some people may be initially, I can't relate to, like you said, this would be middle class women. That's not my life. Forget her. You know, we can't be that way. It can be, take away all the money. Yeah. This can be anyone at any point in time.
Mm-hmm. I think that was all the questions that we had. Is there anything y'all needed to add or wanted to
add? Chazley, you want to add some more?
I just got down with the first page here. Okay, so she is, Lisa Tadeo is a short story writer. That's what she's won her awards for. Like, okay, I have thoughts, clearly. But what do you guys think about how that may have, did you see that in her writing?
I love the short story. Like, did I see that she was a short story writer?
Yeah, because I think, like, the fact that she is known as a short story writer, and that's
primarily
what she's done, has really affected her book.
I liked it because the way she set it up made it easy for me to read the book because she did everything. She went to each person at certain points, I went to someone else. I was able to get just enough of them. Okay, good. And now on to someone else. I think if she made every chapter like just one whole long person, I would have been turned off. But the way she did it, she paused at the right moment, went on to another person, and I like the way it fit together that way.
Like some vignettes.
Yes, I like that.
The writing is very sharp, I felt. What do you think?
Everyone looks a little afraid now.
Yeah, I know, like...
I thought it read a lot like a short story, which I think frustrated me. I wanted a conclusion. I wanted change, I guess. And so maybe the problem was my expectations.
That's the problem with nonfiction, though.
It is.
It's what happens in real life.
Well, she did say, though, she prefers writing fiction. Like, this was out of her element.
Yeah. I think that may be the problem with people. When you want them to change, they don't.
They don't.
That is the problem with people, I have noticed. But it's also, like, and I like how it switches between them. Like, that kept me going, too. Like, I was like, you can't get too drowned in any of this because there's somebody else to worry about. But, like, I liked, it has, like, the arc of a short story where you're, like, you're seeing what is happening, but then it kind of, like, ends. I don't know how to explain that in a way that, like, but anyway, no, it made me absolutely crazy.
Wanted some sort of, like, conclusion, some sort of, like, climax to the story, and it just kind of continued in the same direction.
You are visibly frustrated.
Like, okay, and no, like, it's not even that I wanted, like, an artificial arc to it. Like, I understand, like, I read a lot of nonfiction. I wanted, you know how, like, in a literary short story, like, you have all of the things, and then it kind of ends on, like, a note?
Yeah, a magical note.
Yes.
Actually. But in real life...
In real life, it doesn't do that, but she still, I feel like she tried to make it end on that note that wasn't, an actual conclusion, which is fine, but also wasn't... It just wasn't anything.
I think as a fiction writer in her, she wanted to probably end it that way, but you can't because mm-hmm. everything's unresolved. There's yeah. no resolution here. They all need counseling. they all need help. They all need to go through some emergence therapy.
I think maybe what I was missing is that she didn't go in with a conclusion. Like, she has a prologue, but I wanted her to, like, say, like, she spent all of this years doing all of these research.
This is what I discovered.
I think when it came into money running out and frustration. And I mean, because she says in an interview, she got a great stipend to get this going. So she was on the road interviewing people. By year five or six, it was gone. So she had to now take out loans. And so she was like, I need to finish this. So I think that's where you're probably feeling the...
Maybe so.
I can't just breeze by and sit back on this money they're giving me and finish this book. He's like, let me give now. Look at the cover. Look at the cover. Oh, I got three women in a red line. There you go. You know?
All done.
So.
I do have a quote that I liked, and I don't even remember which of the women said this. It could have been any of them.
We'll play a game. We'll guess. This will be the game show for them.
The problem she's starting to understand is that a man will never let you fall completely into hell. He will scoop you right up before you drop the final inch so that you cannot blame him for sending you there. He keeps you in a diner-like purgatory, waiting and hoping and taking orders.
Probably Maggie.
I think Sloane.
There we go. We found the theme.
That's the theme of the book, everybody. That's the blurb on the back.
I think that was Sloane.
I don't know.
That was too highfalutin for Lena.
That's true.
That was too high for Lena, and that's not Maggie. That's Sloane.
And that's like a direct quote. That's a direct quote from the text.
I'm thinking that's Sloane because she lost control of what brought her, she thought, joy. Because now she's trying to please her husband. And because she found joy when she had the affair because he didn't have those expectations of her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But once the girlfriend found out, then it's like, oh, what do I do? Now everyone knows. Well, you shouldn't care if anyone knows. This is the life you live. And her husband wanted to know, who are you with? Who's the person? Pick them out. So it became a constant feeding his needs. So I would think that's a Sloane.
And it probably is Sloane, but it reminds me of Lena in that part of the point is, you know, the man's not going to drop you 100%. He'll always give you a little bit more to keep you on the hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, you know, I think Aiden was the man she was having an affair with. He was horrible, I guess. I mean, there was a scene with the cigarettes.
You know, I'm going to say this, and people may hate me. I did not hate Aiden.
No.
I had no issue with Aiden because Aiden never promised her anything.
Not a rose garden, not anything.
She was the one who totally went after Aiden, made sure she would stalk his Facebook, social media, where, hey, I'm here, come see me, what you doing? And the same thing in high school. He didn't really go after her. She was like, I see Aiden, I want Aiden, we're dating. He never said we're dating.
Yeah.
They were never even intimate in any way. Then she did something. He's like, oh, okay, well, I can't be with you. Because she wanted his attention. Well, where are you at? What's going on? Oh, I'm going to go up to this party where I know he'll find out. What are you doing? He never once, from what she says, ever initiates anything. And then he just pays for her cigarettes. Like, after every transaction, it's a transaction.
It's super transactional.
He paid for something, or he gave her either $20 or here's your cigarette.
For cigarette. It was weird.
Because they both smoked. Here you go. Cheap hotel. And she was saying that he would just do what he had to do and go.
But he'd push her to the edge of, like, hating him, or, like, you know, giving him up, you know. I can't quit you. But then, you know, he would just do one kindness or one,
thinks is kindness.
And she would leave right back where she started.
And like he said, I love my wife. He never promised to go anywhere.
She was addicted to that situation.
Make better choices for your life.
I think she was addicted to the fact that he never fully told her what she wanted.
Communicate better, take care of your mental health.
I think she liked someone who wasn't nice. Yeah. I think she liked the fact that I had to figure out if he wanted me or not. That kind of thing. Does he want me? I don't know. I'll just keep fighting for his attention. And her saying her husband never kisses her, I just don't know. Like, they have two kids. You know, I'm not saying it's not a possibility, but
kids to have kids.
That's true. But I just wonder. Like,
make sure you're clear on that.
And when
still a bedroom situation.
And when she talked about when she met him. He liked her, and I guess he was nice to her, and I don't think she knew how to handle that. That's the immaturity for me and for Lena. She didn't know how to handle someone who actually wanted her and was like, nice to her and want to take care of her. And she didn't know, I guess. Well, I, you know, because she still was held up on someone who did not want you.
So if you're looking for a book that is about, like, female desire and agency, the one we talked about earlier, City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert, where to go.
And then when you want to hear, like, a slightly more down-to-earth, you know, maybe a little bit sadder, but, like, a story of the human condition.
Yeah, there you go.
Three women.
There you go, yeah.
I think it should be, you know, not even this, just, like, trauma. Take the...
Just take it off and put trauma.
Just call it trauma, like...
Or three traumas.
You know, but the saddest one to me is Maggie, because that's actual... We can Google that article, Google what's going on, that teacher, everything, and read up on what he did, and it was... Yeah.
So we're going to have to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Because I have plenty of material to work with. Thank you guys so much for joining us and talking about a fascinating book. And stay tuned next week for our fantastic
Our pleasure. No pun intended.
Oh, my God.